Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the chance once again to gather in your house, be able to study your word, open our hearts and minds as we do that, and give us the understanding that we need so that we can then in turn share that with others. Thank you so much. Lead, guide, and direct all of it as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in astronomy. Now we've covered several of these all the way up to the Star of Bethlehem that's seen there and guides those wise men to the house where young Jesus was at, where they were able to present those gifts to him. And now we're into the New Testament here as well, over in Luke chapter 23. On the other end of the timeline, you might say, we've seen how the Lord's using the stars to guide the wise men to the young Jesus. And now we see here an account how the Lord is using the sun as a signal, a message, as the darkness falls upon the sun for quite some time. If you will turn to Luke chapter 23, we see here this is at the very last moments of Jesus' life while hanging on the cross there. It reads, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. So for 3 hours, it was dark. Now, I've seen and witnessed eclipses, and they don't last total darkness for 3 hours. You usually sort of see it come in and creep in and gets dark for just a little while and then starts getting light again. But for 3 hours, this was no common eclipse that had occurred. And the timing of it, precisely, it shows that God's in control of everything, even the alignment of the planets, the stars, of the earth, the moon, the sun. And to be able to darken the sun for 3 hours, because it says from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. In verse 44 again, Luke chapter 23, verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Now, this reference to the veil in the temple, this veil was, if you remember how the temple is laid out, you have a section which is known as the Holy of Holies, and it's divided by a great big curtain, a veil. This thing is woven wool, and it is 3 inches thick, and it's very tall, and it was rent from the top all the way to the bottom, completely in two, representing that now we had access into the Holy of Holies. Because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, we can now approach the Father directly because we receive Him and we become part of the family. And this event was, of course, right before Jesus says in verse 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Went down into the grave some 3 days, took captivity captive, took it up, paradise up into heaven, paid the price for all mankind's sins. Even those that will never receive Him as their Lord and Savior, He paid the price for all of it. Rose up out of that grave on the third day, stuck around some 40 days preaching and teaching, spreading the gospel that much further, and then ascended to the Father. Sits on the right hand of the Father, our great high priest, our mediator, in control of everything. All right, now back over into the book of Joel in the Old Testament. We see an event here, an event that is going to take place in the last days. Now, we know, as we've read already in Psalm chapter 19, it reads, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So he is in control of all this astronomy, all the planets, all the stars, the way they function, the way they turn, the way they rotate, the way they explode, if you want them to explode, the way they implode with black holes or whatever it might be, the meteorites falling, the comets, all that are all within his control. He spoke it all into existence. He moves it around as He sees fit. And in Joel chapter 2, we see a prophecy of things that will take place in the last days. In Joel chapter 2, let's pick it up in verse 28. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 reads, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants of and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come." And that's talking about the great and terrible day of the Lord is when He comes back in His glorious appearing at the end of tribulation to establish His kingdom here for 1,000 years. And there will be events taking place, signs that we read about, the judgments that come upon this planet during the tribulation time, which we read about some of it also on over. Flip on over back over to the New Testament, Matthew in chapter 24. Of course, we know Matthew chapter 24 and 25 are prophecies that Jesus is teaching them about the last days. Some of it about the tribulation time, some of it about the millennial time, some of it about eternity. But we see here in Matthew chapter 24, let's pick it up verse 29 as He teaches them. Immediately after the tribulation, so this is after the 7 years, immediately after that, "of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." This is right when He sets the stage for that division that we read about, where He divides the sheep from the goats. So He'll gather all of those that survived tribulation time that are born again, and all those that were not will be off to one side. Of course, the goats, the sheep, will be gathered and be sent into the millennial period, be able to enter into the millennial period, because shortly after this statement here, He's going to restore this planet, because things have really gotten shook up, really gotten disturbed, because this sun being darkened and the moon turning to blood is an effect that would occur if there was a lot of meteorites, a lot of bombardment, a lot of sediment being thrown up, earthquakes, which we know that's going to happen, great meteors, which are also referenced in Revelation about the events that are going to take place during the tribulation time. And we could spend 2 or 3 days just going by the events that are going to be seen and placed upon the earth and in the skies and in the heavens during the tribulation time concerning astronomy with the use of the meteorites, the stars, the signs that you'll see, the sun and the moon, all being shaken, all being used by God as parts of the judgment during tribulation time. As a result of this, the atmosphere is very polluted. And if you pollute the atmosphere enough, you're going to darken the sun. And the darkened sun, as it shines the light through the filth of the earth, it's casting a shadow onto the moon. And as it filters and comes through all that sedimentation, you're going to see a red moon. Just like in the mornings when you see the sunrise, how it's kind of orange. It's a different color than when it gets higher up because you're looking through all the sediments that are in the atmosphere. And same thing as it sets. So it can be explained by the events that are unfolding the reason the sun will be darkened and the moon will be looking like blood and not be able to give its light. In Revelation chapter 6, we see here during the tribulation time, one of the events that's going to cause all this pollution is going to be up in the air and fade out the sun. In Revelation chapter 6, pick it up in verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Great earthquakes result in volcano eruptions. And volcanic eruption throws sediments in the air, which therefore would create that effect I was talking about earlier. And also we see more of that in verse 13 where it says, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth. So a great meteor storm. Even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. So it would be a lot of them coming down. And every one of these strikes is going to create a massive plume of sediments up into the air. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. So you would not be able to see the stars. This isn't talking about the very destruction of the stars. This is talking about how it is going to be so polluted, you're not going to be able to see any of the stars at all. It's like you just rolled it up and it's gone. Blackness. Because all that is being thrown up into the air from this meteorites, from the volcanic eruptions, from the earthquake triggers, and all that. So we know with our understanding of geology and astronomy how these events could take place, because we've seen smaller versions of these events already, witnessed them, documented them, and how they affect the entire earth. And with the multiple events that are going to be taking place during the tribulation time, you can see how it would affect the entire planet very catastrophically. As we continue in verse 14, let's read that one again. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. That much shaking that they were not even in the same place. Nothing compared to that all the way back to the event of the flood when the entire world was reshaped. But we know this was only a taste of what's going to happen. The events that we just read about that are going to occur during the tribulation time. The Lord will restore this planet, make it an awesome place to live for 1,000 years. You'll be able to live longer, healthier. The oxygen levels will be in the proper way they were designed to be. It'll be more like it was during the time before man's fall. Prior to Genesis chapter 3, where man fell and earth was cursed. He's going to restore this earth in that way. Many have misread the restoration of the earth as being that's what we're going to have for eternity, this earth restored. But that's only for the millennial period. This earth will only be restored for the millennial period, and that is all. Because, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 3, in 2 Peter chapter 3, we see here a lot about man's attitude today, a lot of actually some history here, and a prophecy of what is to come. Pick it up right here in verse 1 of chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. We clearly have this throughout the entire planet. Scoffers, they do not want to believe the Bible. They do not want to know that there is a God. They do not want to know there is accountability. which is the primary thing they don't want. They want to be able to do whatever they want and get away with it. Well, everyone needs to know that if you do something wrong, there is accountability for that. And they don't want to hear that, so they come up with different concepts, different ideas, different theories to try to diminish that, to silence that, that is really calling out to them to come in and be converted. They don't want to, though. So they become scoffers after their own lust. Their lust is they want to stay in their sin, they want to stay in that evil attitude. As it continues in verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And they ain't nothing changed. You guys are reading all these prophecies. And then when you get these folks that say they're date setters, like, yes, it's all going to end 1999 or Y2K or, well, it's always back to 1984. Different events. You go on back on back. I mean, it just all the way back to shortly after the ascension of Jesus Christ, people started setting the dates of when He was going to come back. Well, they've all been wrong because, as the Lord says, nobody knows. And the longer He waits, the more these people that are scoffers get to saying, well, look how long it's been, so He must not be coming back at all. Well, let's continue to read and we'll see why He's waiting. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. One of the primary things they want to disbelieve or do not want to believe is the worldwide flood. Why? Because the worldwide flood displays God's judgment. And that's one thing they really don't want to know about or to acknowledge, because then they would know that they are accountable. But the heavens and the earth, which are now the heavens, that means everything around us, the entire universe, this planet, everything. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. What word is this? It's the word of Jesus Christ. By His word, He spoke it into existence. By His word, He flooded it all. By His word, He's going to keep it together as long as He wants to. By the same word are kept in store. He's the only one that's holding everything together. If not for the power of Jesus Christ holding everything together, everything would disintegrate into nothing. Because with science and all of their supposed knowledge and understanding that they have from all the centuries past, cannot tell you why one single atom stays together. They do not know. They have studied electricity ever since they've been able to get shocked by static electricity, wondering what in the world that was. They've studied magnetism. You can dig up a rock and it'd be magnetized and be attached steel and draw that in. They've studied that ever since it's been discovered. And they still don't know why it does what it does. Total mystery. They do not understand electricity. They know how to manipulate electricity and use it. They know how to manipulate and utilize magnetism. But they do not know why it exists. Professing themselves, in Romans chapter 1, verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Thinking they have all this understanding, but they don't. Jesus Christ is the one who holds everything into existence. He is in store, as it says. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. He's reserved this planet for fire. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. He is beyond time because He spoke time into existence. Therefore, what we seem to think is a long time is nothing to Him. But why is He waiting? Why is He not going ahead and taking this world out? We see how evil it is getting. He explains it here. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He's patient, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's holding out. He's waiting for more to come in and receive Him so that they can become part of His family and enjoy eternity forever. They don't want to come to Him. They block their ears. They close their eyes. They're loving it in their sin. But they're going to wind up in a lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone forever if they don't turn their lives over to Jesus. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. In other words, everything in existence is going to be burned away, gone. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversations and godliness? Why should we focus on material things when we know all the material things are going to be melted away into nothingness? Looking and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The elements, the little particles that we're made of, is going to melt away, gone. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So much to look forward to. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blemish. How can you be like that? By asking Jesus Christ to come into you, receive Him as your Lord and Savior, ask for forgiveness. He'll come into you, live in you in the form of the Holy Ghost. Then you don't have to worry about this, because you're not going to be melted away with the rest of all this. You're not going to spend eternity in hell. You're going to spend eternity in paradise, in a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. As he says in verse 13, nevertheless, we are the Christians, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Not a remodeled earth, not a restored earth, but it says a new earth. That means new. It doesn't mean remodeled. I know the difference because I've remodeled a lot of homes. You go into a neighborhood where there's a home condemned. You go in and you gut it, you take it down to its bones, and you put new drywall, new plaster, new paint. It looks brand new. But if you were to pull back that new drywall and paint and plaster and insulation and look down in there, you would find the old decay and rotten looking boards that are the core of an old remodeled home. Sometimes they really look bad because they're stained with the years of filth that was able to drain down through the walls onto them. Still structurally sound, but they look terrible. We're not going to be spending eternity on an earth that was restored with all the sins of the past and all the ground underneath and all this filth that mankind has spilled out on the ground in their actions and in their behavior and all of the effects of Satan through the centuries. He would never do that. That would not be paradise. As you spend time walking around over top of the bones of millions of people that passed away, that's not paradise. Temporarily, for the 1,000 years of rule and reign of Jesus Christ, that'll be all right. But for eternity, new heavens and a new earth, as he says in one of my most favorite chapters, of course, Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. We just read about how it passed away. He's going to burn it away. Everything vaporized, burned. That is the big bang that really people ought to be thinking about. When this all is just vaporized, and he'll create a brand new heaven, which means all brand new universe. He's going to roll the other one away like a scroll. He's going to wipe out all of that. Entire universe that we saw that film strip the other day about, the beautiful cosmos, all spoke out of existence, just like it was spoke into existence. But he's going to make it all brand new for us to be able to enjoy for eternity. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he said, He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. That means brand new sun, brand new moon, brand new earth, brand new stars, brand new Milky Way, brand new cosmos. And brand new bodies. All the beautiful animals back to where they were before the curse, not devouring and chasing and killing each other. No more sin, no more sorrow. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Awesome words of encouragement, awesome words to let us know that he is in control of everything, even everything to do with astronomy. He spoke it into existence. He is going to vaporize it, melt it into nothing, and create it all brand new for us to be able to enjoy for eternity, us that have received him as our Lord and Savior, that is. This will conclude our study in astronomy, and we'll pick up a different word next time. So, young man on the front row, when you're in school and you hear the terms about astronomy, you can be thinking about true astronomy. God's in control of all of it. He spoke it all into existence, and he's going to melt it all away and make it all brand new for us Christians. Well, let's go ahead and close. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to study your word once again, to be able to grow closer to you through that faith-building knowledge that comes from that. Help us to share that knowledge with others as well, so they can come in and receive you as their Lord and Savior and be looking forward to that brand new heaven and brand new earth where we'll spend eternity. Thank you so much. Lead and direct us this week. Give us the boldness to step up and proclaim you as our Lord and Savior every opportunity we have. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen.